Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us.
I'd like to introduce Alan from Scotland, and Alan has multiple sclerosis. Welcome, Alan.
Hi, Linda.
Could you tell me when you first started having symptoms of MS?
Oh, that's a difficult one. I was diagnosed in 1986, but I probably had symptoms for at least 10 years before that.
Mm-hmm. So what sort of symptoms did you have at that time?
It's the same. The symptoms bother me most all my life is fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
I first started noticing terrible fatigue when I was driving. I had a job that required me driving around the north of Scotland, preparing in those days it was typewriters and photocopiers.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to stop the car and pull into the side of the road and have a rest. I didn't always sleep. It was more just having to have time out.
Yep.
Gather myself together again set off to the next customer. And I knew it wasn't right. It was unnatural fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Other people didn't have that or complain of that sort of thing.
Yep.
I went to the doctor in those days, but it was hard to describe it other than just feeling tired.
How old were you at the time?
I would have been like 25 when I went to Shetland, so I would have been between 20 and 25.
Right, so you were young.
Yeah, but I'm certainly not the youngest that I've heard of.
So how did it impact on your social life?
It actually impacted more on my business life, I suppose, because the problems were when I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
Socially, I didn't really notice that I could rise above it socially.
Mm-hmm.
If I was going to football matches or if I was going to parties, I could, I could overcome it. These are difficult questions.
Sorry.
I'm thinking back now, 30 years. I can remember it being okay. My social life, I can remember it being a problem in 1990. I mean, I was long diagnosed by then. But I went to the World Cup in 1990 with three other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we all shared the driving. And I couldn't take my turn driving.
Hmm.
I did some things, but I had to depend on others. I could drive for short distances, and then I would start to tire, and someone else would have to take over. It got to the point where I didn't even bother taking my turn.
So what did you find other than the fatigue? Was that the only thing that bothered you at that time?
No. Various sensory problems, tingling, pins and needles. I can remember when I was driving, if I bent my neck, I would get a tingle running right down
mm-hmm.
my back, through my legs, to my toes. And it wasn't painful, it wasn't unpleasant, and I would find myself doing it just to see if it was still there more than
anything. Yeah.
Are you talking on a cordless phone or a hands-free phone?
I'm doing it via Skype, so I've got a headset on.
You're doing it via Skype, okay.
Do I sound okay?
Oh, yeah, you sound okay. You just sound remote, distant.
Oh.
It's not a problem.
Okay.
I just wondered if it was my phone or...
No, it's probably me. So how did your MS progress from there?
Uh... things that I was going to the doctor with numb patches. I remember one side of my face went numb, and when the doctor examined me, this was actually still in Shetland, when the doctor examined me, it turned out that my face wasn't numb, it was actually oversensitive, because he did tests by asking me to close my eyes and then touching my face with sharp objects and blunt objects. And everything he touched my face with felt sharp to me. Not sharp or even painful. And apparently that was when the GP knew that he was dealing with MS. I didn't know I was dealing with MS. The GP knew. This was in Shetland. This was a GP that was experienced. Sorry, that's a lie. This was a GP that wasn't experienced with MS, because I was one of the first patients he'd had with him. I met that GP a few years ago in Shetland. In fact, the last time I was in Shetland, I went for a visit. I met him just by coincidence, and he was explaining to me, he told me how bad he'd felt when he was dealing with me, because every time he saw me, he realised he was dealing with someone with MS but didn't want to tell me, because he didn't have enough evidence at that stage to give it to me. He knew the impact it would have on someone.
Yes.
I mean, I was young, so I was 30. He was just much the same age as me. But he, what I'm trying to say is, he was dealing with people, a lot of people that were well down the road with MS. I was probably the first one he'd had that was just developing MS, if you like. And he it said at that time, he was the one that broke the news to me eventually in 1986. And he said at that time it was one of the worst things he'd ever had to do. Was tell me. Because would you believe, I think I told you in the information, I was up in Shetland selling computers, repairing computers. And I had actually sold a computer to the doctor's surgery at that stage. I was maintaining their computers. And I had actually, I knew and had known for a long time there was something wrong with me. I even knew when I went to Shetland that there was something wrong with me. I didn't know what it was. And it got to the point, I'd been sent to Aberdeen for tests. And I was in Wood End Hospital in Aberdeen for a week, I think it was. The one test they really wanted to do was give me a lumbar puncture. They left that till the end. They gave me the lumbar puncture. Yeah, and then I waited and waited for results of that, of those tests, and the results weren't coming. I wasn't hearing anything. And I was, I suppose I was getting annoyed at the time rather than suspicious, but I was getting annoyed. I still had no clue that I had MS. Even though there are a lot of folk in Shetland with MS, I didn't know anyone there with MS. And so I was still waiting for the result. What I did was I applied for a life insurance policy. And when I asked you if you'd been to the hospital recently, I filled in the section and said, yes, I said I'd had tests, but I still hadn't had the results of the test. This was to the life insurance people. And the when I think back, this should never have happened, and I don't blame the GP for it, but when I came into my office one day and the girl who worked for me said I'd had a message from the doctor. They wanted me to make an appointment, but I had to make an appointment at a time that was suitable for all the doctors. They wanted to see me together.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very strange thing. I mean, I've never had that before or since. All the doctors in a practice wanting to see me at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And he certainly should never have left that message with the girl who worked for me.
Yes.
Because she knew right away that there was something seriously wrong before she was passing on a message like that.
Mm.
And I went to see the doctor, and sure enough, the three of them, there's only three doctors in the practice, that they were all there, and that was when they told me that they hadn't wanted to tell me yet that a hand had been forced because they'd had to fill in a form for the life insurance company.
Yeah.
Telling them what their suspicions were, et cetera, et cetera. And they knew that the life insurance company were going to turn me down, so they thought they'd better tell me.
Mm-hmm. So how long did it take before you found LDN?
Well, I found LDN, well, it wasn't that long ago. It was only 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, maybe. Well, I tell you, I mean, it's a good time for a funny story.
Go on, then.
I can date it exactly. It was 2006. 2006. When I started LDN, I was talking to folk on a message board, and it turned out most of them were in the States. I didn't realize that at the time. I didn't know where everyone came from. But everyone was everyone was given their experiences of being an LDN on the message mm-hmm. board. But in amongst all of this stuff, there's all this religious rubbish that I had no time for. And I eventually said something, and to one of them, and I get pounced on by everyone on the message board for my blasphemous comment. And one person sort of came to my defense and said, one person came to my defense. And I started talking to the person directly, and it turned out she was Australian, and that was the reason why she didn't have the same religious views as everyone else in the message board. Most of the rest of them turned out living in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she came to my defense. I started talking to her, and she had started LDN the same time as me, the same week as I had. And after I'd been in LDN for a month, I started to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
I tell the girl that, and I said, if I continue to feel any better, I'll come and visit you. And in the next few days, a special offer came through, an email from British Airways, a special offer of plane flights to Sydney. So, the spur of the moment, I booked myself a flight to Australia.
Yeah.
I had no visa. I didn't know how far Australia was. I mean, obviously I knew where it was. Didn't know how long it took to get there or anything. But I was feeling so good. I booked this flight to Australia and then said about getting visas better. And before I knew it, I was sitting in a beach in Sydney, Bondi Beach.
Oh, how wonderful.
And I was back in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5 years, I think I told a lie, I think it was 6 years.
And what did LDN do to help you? What symptoms did it help with?
It was more psychological than anything. I can't say there were any real physical improvements. I felt better. That alone was worth it. But the expense really doesn't come into it, because it's compared to some of the other things, I'm spent so much money over the last 10 years on miracle cures. Most of the folk on the LDN message board, I met a lot of them in Costa Rica when I went for stem cell surgery, stem mm-hmm. cell treatment.
Yes.
And that alone cost me £20,000, and my LDN cost me, I don't even think about the crypto minimum. You're looking at what, tens of pounds a year.
Mm-hmm.
I have tried Esperanza, I have tried the goat serum. I have probably paid £50,000 easy in the last 10 years on other treatments.
And you think LTM worked the best?
Well, it's the only one that ever made me feel better.
Right.
Whether LDN sort of slowed down progression, I'll never know. I still take it religiously, 10 o'clock every night.
Mm-hmm.
You're recording all this?
I am. Is there anything else you'd like to add? It will be edited, so don't worry.
It'll be edited, yeah. Anything else I'd like to add? Well, this sounds silly, but the one thing that I wanted to do before I gave up, I suppose, was a long-haul flight, because I'd never done any long-haul flights. The only time I'd ever really flown was Aberdeen to Shetland, which is another. I wanted to do a long-haul flight. I've mm-hmm. been to Australia 3 times. I've been to Costa Rica all in the last few years. Without the LDN, I wouldn't have done that.
Well, that in itself is good news, isn't it?
It is. But I can't say that without the LDN, I wouldn't have done it, but not directly because of the LDN. I felt well enough to take on the trip. I mean, that's 30 hour flight from Aberdeen to Australia.
It's a bit more than a hop, skip and a jump, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it was mainly, I suppose, because I met the people that I did that. The same with the stem cell thing. I went to Costa Rica. I've a lot to thank LDN for, but not the kind of things that I wanted to thank it for. I suppose I can still walk. I can't walk much more than about 30 or 40 metres
mm-hmm.
without a rest. So I find it, I've got to say, I don't have much to measure it with, but I do. My bladder's got a problem, my bowels are a problem, balance is a problem, all of these. I have nothing that.
What would you say to
dramatically?
What would you say to other people who are contemplating trying LDN?
I would say, I would never bring it up with someone, but if someone else brings it up, I would say, yeah, there's nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
It's so relatively inexpensive that anybody could try it. I suppose I have given folk information on how to get the stuff, but only if they've asked.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've got no single symptom or problem that has obviously improved through taking LDN. But I also had no side effects from taking it.
Mm-hmm.
I did, at the very beginning, the muscles in my legs tightened up a lot, but that only lasted 2 or 3 weeks. So, yeah, 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing. I think that's a common symptom with starting an LDN.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your story with us, Alan. I do appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, then.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bye now. Alexandra from the United States, who has multiple sclerosis. Welcome, Alexandra.
Oh, thank you so much, Linda. It's an honor to be a part of this.
Could you tell us when you first started to notice MS symptoms?
Yes, I would say that I began noticing symptoms several years before my diagnosis at the end of 2006. I did not know that they were MS. The symptoms were weakness on my right side, my right leg dragged, especially my right foot. I had foot drop or whatever you want to call it. And I had a number of falls. It just didn't make sense, you know, that I kept falling. I did have one very serious fall where I broke both my wrists, and that was in 2005. Even so, I hesitated to try to find out what was going on because my father had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in his 40s, and I think basically in the back of my mind, I feared that that was what was wrong with me, and I really didn't want to know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's understandable, isn't it? Were you offered any drugs when you were diagnosed?
Yes, I was. The doctor that did the diagnosis in Seattle suggested that I go on Copaxone. She explained that the drug was very expensive, but that it had fewer side effects than the other major drugs for multiple sclerosis. And I wasn't totally comfortable with taking the drug because I had done enough research to figure out that there is no sanctioned treatment for primary progressive multiple sclerosis, which is what I have. And I asked the doctor about that, and she said, well, the categories are somewhat arbitrary, and not always easy to precisely pinpoint that you do indeed have primary progressive multiple sclerosis. She said that since I had excellent health coverage, I might try the drug. And I did try it. I was very uncomfortable with the cost, even though I had good health insurance. I questioned the idea of taking it when I had primary progressive MS, and I also had some very uncomfortable site reactions from the injections. And so I only stayed on that drug for probably a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. When was it difficult to obtain a prescription for LDN?
No, it wasn't. I went to my primary care physician with information that I printed out from the internet and presented that to him and asked him to prescribe the drug to me. And he immediately said that he was familiar with the drug naltrexone, and he didn't have a problem prescribing it to me if I thought it would help me. He said, as far as he knew, there were no side effects, and it wasn't a narcotic or something like that. And, you know, it's something that would be abused. And so he said if I thought it would help me, he would be willing to prescribe it, and he did.
Wonderful. How did you get the prescription filled? Was that easy?
Yes, it was. I was in Anchorage, Alaska at the time, and there were at least two compounding pharmacies. I didn't quite understand early on that there aren't that many compounding pharmacies in the United States, but they did have one in Anchorage, and I went there. Later, however, I did more research and discovered that there are a number of pharmacies that are recommended by LDN people specifically, and that these pharmacies are tested regularly for very precise filling of the prescription. So I later switched to Iremont in New York City, and I've been extremely happy with them.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice any introductory side effects?
Yes, I did. I had a fair amount of muscle stiffness that was, I would say, uncomfortable. And at the time, I didn't really know about the idea of, you know, working your way up to 4.5. So I just started on 4.5. I read, though, that the muscle stiffness that I was experiencing was most likely transitory. And so I just decided to ride it out because I was 100% committed to giving that drug a try. I actually felt desperate, and I wanted to do everything I could to try the drug.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take before you started to notice improvements?
I noticed improvements almost immediately. I was having a lot of numbness in my right foot. And it was really terrifying to me because I was afraid I would lose the feeling in my foot entirely and, you know, lose my ability to get around. And I would say within about 2 or 3 days, I started getting more feeling in my foot, and that was just the most wonderful relief. I also didn't have to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom as often. I only had to get up, you know, once or twice as opposed to 3 or 4 times. I also had vivid dreams, but that wasn't a big deal. They weren't bad dreams. They were just more vivid.
Mm-hmm. If you were to rate your quality of life from 1 to 10 before you started LDN, what do you think it would be?
Well, immediately after my diagnosis, I would say my quality of life was very low. I tend to be a very optimistic and a positive person. Mm-hmm. And so even, you know, with being in such a dire mental state with the diagnosis, I was probably, you know, a little bit maybe more upbeat than the average person. But even so, I would say I was probably on a 3 or 4 right after I got diagnosed, because mm-hmm. I was very worried and depressed.
Yeah. And what would you say your quality of life would rate now?
Oh, gosh, I'd have to put it, well, I mean, some days are better than others, but mm-hmm. I would put it at a 9 or a 10. I mean, I just feel extremely blessed, and I get around now. I hardly use a cane. I was using a cane quite a bit for a while. I don't have near as much fatigue. I mean, I was falling asleep, you know, in the middle of the afternoon when I was working full time, and you know, had just been diagnosed. I think mentally I was depressed. I'm much happier now. I don't know if LDN has anything to do with that, but I think it does. And I don't think the weakness on my right side is as pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's still some there, but, you know, I've been taking it now since early 2007. And so that means I've been taking it for several years now. And for a while there, it was very difficult for me to write, you know, handwrite something with my right hand. Mm-hmm. And I was tested by a physical therapist, and even though I am right-handed, my left hand tested with more dexterity than my right, and of course that's because of the weakness on my right side. But now, my writing is maybe a little bit slower than it used to be, but it's, I would say, very close to normal.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. I'd like to introduce Alex from England, who takes LDN for multiple sclerosis. Thank you for joining me, Alex.
You're welcome.
Could you tell me when you were diagnosed with MS?
I was only diagnosed in 2009.
Okay, and how old were you?
I was about 31.
Okay, and what were your symptoms that led to your diagnosis?
It's quite a long, convoluted story because they messed around a bit.
Right.
But one day I was driving to work and my eyes just went very blurry. Mm. I was having a little problem walking. I thought it's where I had a trip. But it turns out now, looking back, it wasn't. They put me on steroids, I got a little bit better, went back to work. There was a stressful period, and it appears I went back into a relapse. And got diagnosed, but the doctor was trying to put me on Tysabri before I was actually diagnosed. When I said I wasn't, he just paused for a second and said, "You've got MS."
Mm-hmm.
Found out about LDN through different groups on the internet talking about it. Because I spend probably far too much time researching and looking for things that could help.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I got it through an online pharmacy where a doctor prescribed it. I got it from the pharmacy up in, I think it's Glasgow, Dickinson's.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I've been on it. I think I started my third lot last night, so that's a good couple of months.
Right. So if we go back to before you started LDN, what symptoms were you experiencing at that time?
When I woke up in the morning, my legs were all really stiff. Now, when I woke up, I wasn't feeling like I'd had a proper night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I unfortunately have to use a mobility scooter for any distances. Sure, walking around at work, I just have to use a rollator.
Yeah.
My voice is a lot more restricted than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And my eyes are messing up quite regularly. And I've got an intention tremor on one of my hands big style, and the other one just a little bit.
So you've said that you've been on LDN how long now?
Unfortunately, my maths is a bit rubbish.
Okay.
But 28 plus 28 plus 1 or 2 days.
Okay, so it's like 3 months.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So, what has LDN done for you in that 3 months, Alex?
I'm sleeping so much better. When I wake up in the morning, I feel like I've had a sleep and my muscles aren't all stiff.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get out of bed and get downstairs with minimal trouble. I was chatting through with my wife last night and I'm starting to engage more with people. I had before started to withdraw a bit. I'm now trying to put myself out there. It's kind of given me a push towards being more involved in things.
Mm-hmm. That's very positive, isn't it? And for 3 months, you've done very well. When you first started, did you notice any introductory side effects?
No, I had no side effects I know of.
Mm-hmm.
There was no big vivid dreams or anything like that. Because I'd stopped the Tysabri about 2 months before going on LDN.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish now that I'd never gone on Tysabri, I'd gone straight to LDN. It's, to me, it feels like it's done so much more for me than Tysabri did.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to other people who are contemplating trying LDN?
Go for it. It's just a great shame that the doctors in this country, apart from a select few, haven't cottoned on to the fact that this helps.
Yeah.
Just the same as quite a lot of other drugs, it's a variety how things will help in quantities. We're all a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there is a bit of trial and error. But on the whole, it's been so fantastic.
Good. Thank you very much for sharing your experience with us.
Not a problem.
Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.